जय श्री रामदेवजू की जय। ओम विष्णु पर परमहंस परिव्रजाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान हिस डिवाइन ग्रेस वैचरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन प्रतिष्ठ आचार्य जगत गुरु श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय अनंत कोट वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नमाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सिखो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत कथा शिवाशरी गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंज राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुर धाम की नवदीप सिमाई धाम की गंग माई की जय। जामुन माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। निताय गो प्रेम आनंदी समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Chaya Vatadeva Sati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vatadeva. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nidha Shishu Swami Vatadeva Pacharini. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, Chapter 11, Text Number 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samyacha, Rosam, Badram, Te, Pratipam, Shreyasam, Param, Shrutina, Bhuyasa, Rajam, Agadina, Jatamayam, Samyacharo Sambhadramte Ratipam Shresasam Param Shutina Bhuya Sarajan Agadina Jatamayam Samyacharo Sambhadramte Ratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutina Bhuya Sarajan Agadina Jatamayam Samyacharo Sambhadramte Ratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutina Bhuya Sarajan Agadina Jatamayam Samyacharo Sambhadramte Pratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutina Bhuya Sarajam Agadina Jatamayam Ratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutina Bhuya Sarajam Agadina Jatamayam Samyacharo Sambhadram
Samyacharo Sambhadramte
Samyaccha.
Just control.
Rosham. Anger.
Bhadram.
All good fortune.
Te.
To you.
Pratipam.
Enemy.
Shreyasam.
Of all goodness.
Pram.
The foremost.
Shrutina.
By hearing.
Bhuyasa.
Constantly.
Rajan.
Rajan.
My dear king.
Agadina.
By medicinal treatment.
Yata.
As.
Amayam.
Disease.
Translation in purple by His Divine Grace. Abhaya Sharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. My dear king, just consider what I have said to you, which will act as medicinal treatment upon disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune for you. Please follow my instructions. Please repeat.
My dear King,
just consider
what I have said to you,
which will act
as medicinal treatment
upon disease.
Control your anger,
for anger
is the foremost enemy
on the path of spiritual realization.
I wish all good fortune for you.
Please follow my instructions.
Dhruva Maharaj was a liberated soul, and actually he was not angry with anyone.
But because he was the ruler, it was his duty to become angry for some time in order to keep law and order in the state. His brother, Uttam, was without faults, yet he was killed by one of the Yakshasas. It was the duty of Dhruva Maharaj to kill the offender, life for life, because Dhruva was the king. When the challenge came, Dhruva Maharaj fought vehemently and punished the Yakshasa sufficiently. But anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. In order that Dhruva Maharaj's kingly anger not exceed the limit, Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. Dhruva Maharaj could understand the purpose of his grandfather, and he immediately stopped the fighting. The words, Shrutina Bhuyasha, by constantly hearing, are very important in this verse. By constantly hearing about devotional service, one can check the force of anger, which is detrimental to the process of devotional service. Srila Parikshit Maharaj said that a constant hearing of the pastimes of the Lord is a panacea for all material diseases. Everyone, therefore, should hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. By hearing, one can always remain in equilibrium, and thus his progress in spiritual life will not be hampered. Dhruva Maharaj's becoming angry with the miscreants was quite appropriate. There is a short story in this connection about a snake who became a devotee
upon instruction by Narad, who instructed him not to bite anymore. Since ordinarily a snake's business is to fatally bite another living entity, as a devotee he was forbidden to do so. Unfortunately, people took advantage of his non-violence on the part of the snake, and especially the children, who began to throw stones at him. He did not bite anyone, however, because it was the instruction of his spiritual master. After a while, when the snake met his spiritual master, Narad, he complained, "I have given up the bad habit of biting innocent living entities, but they are mistreating me by throwing stones at me." Upon hearing this, Narad Muni instructed him, "Don't bite, but do not forget to expand your hood as if you're going to bite. Then they will go away." Similarly, a devotee is always non-violent. He is qualified with all good characteristics. But in the common world, when there is mischief made by others, he should not forget to become angry, at least for some time being, in order to drive away the miscreants. Om Agyanti Midam Dasya Janan Janan Shalaka Yotak Shura Minitam Dina Tashmaya Shri Kribi Noha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vashari Gaur Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Ram Ram. My dear King, just consider what I have said to you, which will act as medicinal treatment on the disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune for you. Please follow my instructions. So here, King Manu has given many, many instructions to Dhruv Maharaj about self-realization. And pointing out that in this verse that anger is not good. It's the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. So he's so many instructions he's got, and he's asking Dhruv to follow, to try to bring him out of this, the conception of he's being the doer, he's being the killer, he's identifying with his brother, how Maya is working everywhere, how he should overcome this illusory energy of the Lord. Identifying it as a king, and these are all my subjects, and he is my brother. So this is the nature of this world of Maya. It's because it is the plan of the Lord. It is so convincing. Simply by the Lord's desire, the whole world of Maya is existing, coming into existence, and also disappearing in due course of time. But he is the basis of this whole creation is Brahman. Krishna is, it's resting on Krishna as Brahman. And then all these different forms, planets, human bodies, they're all made of the different combinations of material energy, and they're superimposed upon the Brahman, which is supporting everything. And the living entities are injected into him, which is like a little spark. We've all taken on different types of bodies, which is the All that's happening is a little tiny spark is here, that's all. This is the reality. And all these different forms which are constantly changing, we're identifying with, and we're adjusting everything to make a society and friendship and relationships like that. With these different types of bodies. There's just a little spark in there which has nothing to do with the body. So a whole time is spent in relationships with persons, objects, which we are not. But because it's so constant, Krishna's energy is so constant, that there's never a let up, so you can never see that there's no break. Maya is so clever. There's not even one moment you can catch Maya off guard. She's always very attentive to her duty. And thus she's constantly like waves up, flowing on the ocean. Tamagun, Rajagun, Sattvagun. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, you're lamenting about this and you're happy again, and then you go down again and up. And sometimes you're angry like Yuga, sometimes he's happy. So washed away in these waves of Maya. But it's such a grand illusion that everybody is so tightly bound up by this movement of the material energy, and nobody ever talks about it. They're printing millions of newspapers every day since time immemorial. You never even see one paragraph in one newspaper ever one day that, you know, actually Maya is moving everything here. No, it's all, you know, it's us and this world, and we'll generate the newspapers pointing out all the defects and how we're going to overcome the problems of the world. But it never gives you even one sentence of, you know, what's actually happening in this material world. So now it appears that Dhruva Maharaj has become overcome by anger. Prabhupada was saying in this purport, actually he wasn't angry with anyone. But as a ruler, he was his duty to, he was a king, so he had to do some punishment. Manu is there, he's the lawgiver, so a life for life, this is Manu's law. But he just went a little bit overboard. And he tried to wipe out the whole race of the Yakshasas. So, anger is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. Destruction. Kill. Dhruva Maharaj. He's angry. What's he doing? Killing. Mode of ignorance, you see. Anger is... When they're angry, what do? You generally people... They'd get into a fight, right? Two people are angry. Then destruction. They start fighting. Destruction. So it's mode of ignorance, tamagun. So here, Dhruva, he got a little bit angry. What's he? And the outcome of that is killing how many thousands and thousands of yakshasi. He was wiping out just because of his anger. So tamagun has set in. He wasn't supposed to do that. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, where is anger coming from? Who knows?
Rajagun. It says Rajagun later transforms into anger.
Kama. Okay. Yes. Kamesha Krodesha. So it's progression there. Kamesha Krodesha. Lust. Lust is the... That's the mode of passion, actually. When you cannot fulfill your lust, then you become angry. The test. You can test yourself when you're angry. Feeling. Why you find out? Think about it a little bit, and you'll find the cause. Sometime you were lusty, you wanted something, and you couldn't get it, so some frustrations come, now you become angry. So it's a test. You can check it back. You'll find if you're... That it was due to some lust. You couldn't fulfill your desire. So... So lust is impassioned, and when that's unfulfilled, it turns into anger, which is tamagun. And then tamagun you can do anything. When a person is angry, he's a different person. It's a completely different person than you usually know. That exhibition of anger, you don't see often like that, but when you see someone angry, they're a completely different person. So, angry, it just grows and grows if you give it fire. So when someone's angry, generally, you know, we back off, don't we? We're very careful about how we approach, and we don't want to upset them too much, because we know it'll increase the anger when they're angry if you say something more. So we try to be quiet and back off a little bit. It's like Lord Nrsingadev. He was angry. He was very, very angry. This is, the old Stana Nrsinga. This is his angry mood, Lord Nrsingadev here. He burst, the Stana means the pillar. He just burst from the pillar because of his anger. Because he's been tolerating all the time. But the Hiranyakashipu has been trying to kill Prahlad, his devotee, so many ways. And Lord Nrsingadev is just tolerating. Now he cannot tolerate. This is the final straw. This anger is going to come. So angry. Then he bursts. So this is the most fearsome form of Lord Nrsingadev we have here. That's why nobody wanted to make this deity. This is a very, very dangerous deity. Nobody worships this deity. Of Ugra, Stana Ugra Nrsinga, because when you worship a deity, you for some purpose, you're establishing a deity for some purpose, right? You want to worship, you want to get something from the deity, right? Bhakti or whatever it is, or you want to, for some purpose behind serving a deity. But why install a deity which you can't approach? You want something, you're going to approach the deity, so you install a deity. But why install a deity you can't approach? Lakshmi Ji couldn't approach Lord Nrsingadev. Is that my husband? He was so angry. Never recognized him like that. She couldn't approach. Nobody could have, even Brahma couldn't approach. So why are they installing a deity you can't approach? So this is Stana Nrsinga, most angry form. Of course, in Mayapur, the Shilpi who makes the deities, when he found out it was from Mayapur, and he said, it's different there, because here, Lord Chaitanya is the predominating deity, and he is in the mood of, this is the Adorja Dham, he's in the mood of compassion. He's giving generosity, Adorya Dham, Nabadip. So, then all the deities here, they take on the same mood of the predominating deity. So they all have that mood. So even though he's really angry, he takes on the mood of compassion, adorya, because he's Ekliya Krishna Sabdabhitya, that Krishna is the only master and all the others are his servants. So even his own avatars there become his servants. They take on his mood to serve him. All of his associates, they take on that same mood to assist him. So here Lord Nrsingadev, he's not actually Ugra for the devotees, but he's Ugra for the demons. But anyway, we saw that our Lord Nrsingadev displayed that anger. Of course, he wasn't really angry. I mean, he showed it for Hiranyakasipu. He displayed the anger. It's not that the Lord is always angry, but as he's saying here, according to the time and circumstance, it was needed. Some anger was needed. So So he came out in this most angry form that's never been exhibited before practically in history. But just a moment before that, when Hiranyakashipu said, "Is your Lord in that pillow? Is he in the pillow?" Prahlad looked over and he saw Lord Nrisingadev was there. And Lord Nrisingadev went, and he said, "Yeah, he's in the pillar." So Lord Nrisingadev was quite happy with Prahlad. He was very, just a few moments before that. Then Hiranyakashipu, "Oh, I'll show you then." Then he appeared very, really angry. But just a moment before, he was completely pacified. So he assumed that anger for a purpose. He had to kill Lord Nrisingadev, to kill Hiranyakashipu, who was harassing his devotee. So it can be used in service. Prabhupada mentions Hanuman and Arjuna. These are examples Prabhupada always mentions in connection with anger. They were angry, but they used it in Krishna service. Hanuman, he went and destroyed Lanka. And Arjuna, he wiped up all of the unnecessary burden of the world, which was so Krishna used him. And he incited Arjuna to be angry. He just tell him all the time, fight. And Arjuna said, "Go to the forest." "Don't go to the forest." He said, "You go to the forest, Arjuna, you know what's going to happen?" He said, "My Rajagun is going to come along. And you're going to pick a fight in the forest. But you're going to fight because that's your nature. So better you fight the enemy." So even Krishna is inciting anger. And what is this? This is Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no scripture like this. You'll never read anywhere how, you know, God becomes really angry and ferocious. He's always a loving God, he has to be. How can he be angry? How can he be angry, God? The Srimad Bhagavatam. It's pointing out this. No literature in the world like this. So Sukadeva Goswami says at the end of the 10th canto that the Krishna's dealing with these 16,000 queens is unique. This is unique in the history of self-realization. And he's dealing with the gopis. That at the Rajasuriya sacrifice, so such opulence was there, and everyone was, the whole universe was there. Anybody was there. And all the musicians, and after the celebration was finished, and all the great sages come, and they all left after. But then all the festivities beginning, and the Gandavas and the Kinnaras all coming, singing and dancing, and Krishna was playing with his queens in the water, and they were squirting each other, and I guess colored dyes and playing holly and things like that. And Arjuna was also there fighting with the queens, having sports with the queens, and all their dresses were soaking wet and everything, you know, sticking to their bodies, and everything was kind of getting visible in the wet cloth. And Prabhupada said, "It seems like a great opulent, you know, what do they call such thing? Great display of opulence of, you know, looks like it's completely in Rajagun and enjoying." Prabhupada said, "The mind of artists would dare to understand that this goes on in the spiritual world." They couldn't believe it. Nobody can believe it. So he said, this is unique in the history of self-realization, because generally for self-realization, you got to go to the forest, you got to be completely austere, you got to remain a brahmachari and celibate, and you got to do fasting, and you've got to do austerities and things. This is the This is how you do self-realization, and you avoid all that calm, growth, everything like that. But here, when you see Krishna and his dealings with these queens and the gopis and things like that, it's completely. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no other scripture like this that would ever even dream of having such a thing. God could do such a thing, or such a thing is spiritual life. But Prabhupada said, yeah, they became, in the history of self-realization, there's nothing like it. These queens become self-realized by attracting Krishna with their beauty and their smiles, and which is seems like a young boy, young girl thing, but trying to attract it. But that was their spiritual perfection. What is always we're supposed to avoid in spiritual life, because it's the product of Rajagun. So Krishna said, so, and they become spiritually perfect. They use that lust in service to Krishna. So here, this anger is being used in the service of Krishna. Then it takes on its proper place. Because anger is there also in the spiritual world. Not in Vaikuntha, you don't find anger. I've never heard of anger in the Vaikuntha. But in Goloka Vrindavan, there's lots of anger. Radharani is always getting angry with Krishna. So. Of course, he deserves it. What did I do wrong? Well, you went off and you were supposed to meet me, and you went off and you were meeting some. Why are you complaining? What did I do wrong? For him, there's no wrong. But Krishna enjoys this. You see, this is enjoyable. It's used to chastise Krishna. Again, who can do that? Which scripture can do that? You can chastise Krishna, the God. Nobody can chastise God. But here, the gopis are chastising him. Krishna says, "I prefer this chastisement than all the personified Vedas chanting my glories." So they became angry. I think it was. May have been Bhadra. Anyway, Krishna was telling, probably Shubal or someone, I was with one of his gopi friends, Bhadra. She's one of the eight major gopis. And, anyway, Krishna was approaching them, and there was a lot of resistance. And then she grabs Krishna's garland and she yanks it down and pulls him forward. And Krishna said, Krishna startled. He said, "But you know, acts like this," he said. He's telling Shubal, I think. He said, "You know, I'm really conquered by these acts." She jerked me really hard and yanked my hand. So this you cannot do to God. But when someone does that, that especially pleases him. So this is the nature of the spiritual world where Krishna is. So he can do anything. So our perception of what should be done is not God's perception of what always should be done. If we could imagine we were God, which we do quite often, I mean, that's why we're in the material world. But everything would be nice, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be a question of anybody chastising or becoming angry, or everything would be nice, rosy. If I ruled the world, every day would be the first day of spring. We would have it, but Krishna doesn't. He has a winter also. So there's always changing. In the summer, then, there's all summer pastime. Spring is nice because all the flowers come out and Krishna goes in the forest. Vasant Panchami coming in a few days to remind us of spring. Everything is yellow, and flowers and spring. Krishna, cold season is finished. We go out in the Ras Lila again. Nighttime is not so cold. But then summer has its festivities, and there's all the water pastimes of Krishna like that. So this the variety is the spice of life. Generally, we think if I was God, everything, you know, it would be spring all the time, everything would be nice, and we would say anything nice. But Krishna's not like that. He likes variety. It's always up and down. So, so if anger is used in Krishna's service, then it's that's a good thing. But if you use our own service, then it's very detrimental. Because by anger you just lose control, you can do anything. Anything can happen if a person's angry. That's why the soldiers in the wartime, they get a little, they get instructions and get fired up, be angry. Otherwise, how you can kill if you're not angry? And if you're angry, you're fearless. If you just want to kill, you're fearless. You don't mind dying even when you're so angry. You're the most dangerous opponent you can face in a fight is a person who's not afraid to die. He's the most dangerous opponent. So otherwise the anger will degrade. You see, it creates a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. There was a story in Bombay. When I was in Bombay, I heard a story. It just happened actually when I was there. Kami, not devotees, but the devotee gave the example in class. And the husband come home from work, and he said to his wife, "Make me a cup of tea." She said, "You make a cup of tea." He said, "I've been working all day. I've got the baby here. I'm the whole day working. You can make a cup of tea." She said, "Make me a cup of tea. I've been working hard all day." She said, "I've been working hard also." So they started having a little argument like that. And then he got so angry. He was so angry. And he said, "If you don't make me a tea, I'm going to throw the baby out the window." And she said, "Well, he's half your baby. He's half yours also." And he became so angry and he threw the baby out the window. And then he went, "Oh my God, what have I done?" And he jumped out the window. Then the wife came up, "Oh, my husband, my child." She jumped out the window. They all jumped out the window. Just because of a little bit of anger. Over a cup of tea. See, Prabhupada said how dangerous intoxication is. No tea drinking. But just a little bit of anger. They lived, I think they were pretty bruised up. But anything can happen. You just lose it when you're angry. Just like this example of the snake, Narada Muni told the snake, "You don't bite anyone, Vaishnava, you're a Vaishnava. You don't. So then he complained, "You know, the kids are throwing stones at me. They know I won't bite anyone." And show your hood. They'll run away when they see you go like that. But don't bite. Show your hood. So Prabhupada did this one time. It was also in Bombay. And there was a panda program. And some people, they tried to pull the devotees off the stage. Oh, that's right. The night before, the devotees jumped off the stage and they were dancing and got everyone dancing. So the next day, they were there, some people in the audience, they liked it. They had a good time. Everyone was dancing. So they wanted to get them down to come and dance again. And they were kind of harassing, they were pulling trying to get them down, and some Matajis were there as well, I think, maybe pulling a sari. But they wanted them to come down and dance and things like that. But Prabhupada saw him, what was going on, and he immediately picked up his heart out. And everybody jumped back. So he was showing his foot there. But he didn't beat them, but they all jumped back. You shouldn't beat anyone with kartan. No, because it's Krishna. It's in Krishna's service for dancing and chanting and making music. But it's mentioned about Lord Balaram because he's strong. But there was one incident in London, and the devotees doing Harinam, and some group of drunk people came up and they started to harass them. They started to attack them. And so the devotees, you know, they started to defend and things like that, and they all run away like that. And when they got back to the temple, some had some cuts and bruises and everything. But they found that the devotees who had instruments, some had madangas and they were pushing these people, and some had karpals and they were, these were the ones that got beat, cut and everything. And all the others who didn't use, they didn't have any cuts or anything like that. But anybody who used one of the instruments as a weapon, all those people who used the instrument, they got cuts and things like that. But none of the others got cuts. So they decided, we were misusing the instrument. This is for Krishna Kirtan, and we were using it for defending. And the others who didn't use, they didn't get hurt. So I guess it was they learned a lesson there. So Lord Chaitanya also taught Janadapis and Dororopis, Amani Amadani Kitanya Sarvani. But he becomes angry, right? When Jagai Madai were beating Nityananda, he was ferocious, right? He called for his chakra, he was going to kill. That's how angry he was. Yet simultaneously he's teaching, you should be humble than a blade of grass. Of course he didn't do it, but to protect the devotees, someone asked Srila Prabhupada one time, if someone becomes angry with the devotee, what should he do? And Prabhupada said he should tolerate. And they said, well, suppose he starts to criticize the devotee. Prabhupada said, yes, you should tolerate. And then they said, suppose when he beats a devotee. And Prabhupada says, still he should tolerate. And then they said, suppose another devotee sees that devotee being harassed. He said, yeah, then he should be like fire. That devotee should be like fire when you see another devotee. And you can use anger. But for oneself, he said, you should tolerate. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai. Jai Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jai Nitai Go Premanandi. Jai. Jai. Jai.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, as you are telling, we should use our anger in Krishna service. So my question is, since as we are a conditioned soul and still we are entangled in the material nature and we have not made some tangible advancement in Krishna consciousness, still there is any possibility for souls like us who can use their anger in Krishna service?
There was one instance a few years ago, I can't remember the exact details, but there are people outside on the street, and I can't remember what happened, but the devotees, they all the brahmacharis actually, at night time. Late at night, they all went out there with sticks, and there was an incident out there. They became angry, and all the brahmacharis went out, and It was a conflict with the shopkeepers or people who live out on the street, something like that. I can't remember the detail. But anyway, all the brahmacharis ran out there with sticks and they were... And I thought, well, you know, why the brahmacharis are doing that? I think I'm here to pick fights with people. But anyway, afterwards, when the authorities, the GBC, they were praising them for your... it was quite right for you to become our Bhakti Thiru Maharaj and someone else. Dairam was the co-GBC. They were saying it was a good thing, it was a good thing. Sometimes you have to show anger. You become angry and you show anger. You know, they went out there and... So in Krishna's interest, we can become angry. But they were ordered to do that. It wasn't though they... For ourselves, we have some grievance, so we can get angry like that. If you're ordered to do it, in the mood of service or some or protecting the devotees or deities, and
I'd like to share a story of an incident that happened like that also in Montreal. It was a Harinam party, just a few devotees, and one demon came. So the devotees were chanting, and as they did the Prabhupada step, he would come and step on their feet. But he mostly was doing it to the kirtan leader. So another person who was in the kirtan, he happened to be holding kartals, and he thought, no, this I can't handle, I have to protect this devotee. And he hit him with the kartals. And there was, you know, a lot of turmoil, and they went home, and everybody said, well, what to do now, and whatever, because the person was hit, you know. So they went to sleep, and because he left saying, you're going to get it, I know where you live, you're going to get it. So the next morning, another devotee chose not to go on Harinam, shows up at the temple and he's all bruised up and banged up, and the man did come and hit him with brass knuckles all over his face. But the devotee who had been protecting the others never got anything. He was just looking for, you know, some man with a bald head and a sika, so on his way to Mangalartik, somebody else who had not wanted to go on Harinam was hit. Not the one who protected the devotees.
I can say a different story of also Harinam an attack. And one time I was in Florence in Harinam and I was trying to focus on the holy name and was very absorbed in the thinking the holy name, in a mood of giving the holy name to the people there, no? And this drunken man came with a big bottle full of wine and he lifted it and he was hitting my head. So the moment I saw the bottle coming, suddenly in front of me, I realized that I'm going to die. Then I said, in my mind I said, my dear holy name, I don't mind leaving the body because I have you. And I was very peaceful. And suddenly as I was thinking like that, this all happened in fractions of seconds. I felt that the soul of that person, the spirit soul, he was drinking the holy name with the same avidity, he's drinking the wine. He's taking the holy name. And suddenly there was a group of male devotees who were dancing and sort distance of 3-4 meters. And between them was a very special devotee who left his body and went back to Krishna now. And he was a Tai Chi teacher. So he used his martial art. He was very sharp. He noticed that someone is aggressing the Matajis. He used this capacity he had, and with one unique jump of like 4 meters distance, he just grabbed this person from the back and threw him on the floor. But the other Matajis who were around me, they hadn't even realized what had happened. They haven't even seen. Suddenly they saw this person on the floor and what happened? Nobody noticed. So I saw in that moment that we don't need to defend ourselves if we are fully surrendered to Krishna. If we really have faith in Krishna, then He is personally taking care. And not only that, but we can also preach, we can give. Probably that soul became quite purified in that moment because he received the holy name somehow.
Right. Did he hear you?
Because I was chanting on his
face. Did the bottle hit you?
When the bottle reached this level, that is the moment when the other devotee threw him on the floor. The whole test for me was like, from the moment I became aware that somebody is hitting me, I didn't have time to take action. So I understood I can't do anything. There's no time for me, the body is here. In those seconds, I only thought, my dear holy name, you are my only shelter. If I have to die while I'm chanting you, then let it happen. I don't mind, I am surrendered. I surrender in that moment. And that I saw, that he gave, because I wanted to give the holy name, that person, he took that. I couldn't see him as an external form. I could see that he is a spirit soul and he is absorbing the form of the holy name, Krishna's form as the holy name. That is like showing that I am a very fallen devotee, I'm not qualified for such a thing, but
you're
this
like
happened.
You're like Uttara. Brahmastra was coming to kill, death was coming to kill her. She was just praying to Krishna.
Yeah.
Same thing, the bottle was flying towards you and you were just praying.
Yeah, my suggestion is that even if we are not qualified for spiritual life, if we really try intensely to please Krishna or to understand Krishna's form, especially the holy name, if we really try to understand, because He is so merciful, He will take care of us in this way, in many occasions, in many situations of our life, like that.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya, when they marched on the Chankhazis, everybody was... They were screaming, "Kill the Qazi! Kill the Qazi!" They were tearing his garden to pieces. They pulled his fence down, they pulled all the trees and flowers, and they were breaking everything they could. They were really angry. And that was with Lord Chaitanya. He showed it then, to teach the Qazi a lesson.
Yeah. We have two young boys in Bhagavatam whose stories are very nice, Prahlad and Dhruva. So why don't we worship the form of Vishnu in any of our temple that blessed Dhruva, which we worship in Sankadev that saves Prahlad?
Why don't we worship a form of the Lord in relation to Dhruva,
yeah,
as we're worshipping Lord Nrisingadev? Now look, Lord Nrisingadev, he's specifically worshipped in ISKCON for protection. He's our Ishtadeva of protection. He's our worshipful deity for protection. Gauranga, he's performing his Sankirtan pastimes and Radha and Krishna enjoying their pastimes. So we go to Lord Nrisingadev for the... we have somebody to be removed. So Srila Prabhupada said that we worship Lord Nrisingadev for three reasons: to protect the devotees, to protect the movement, and to protect the guru. So that's specifically his function. Lord Nrisingadev's function is actually for protection. And in the Jagpit, the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's in the Shringadeva, Lakshmi Shringa. It's also installed there by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When they were having a lot of problems there, so then he installed the deity of Lord Nrisingadev to remove the problems. And also Nanda Baba, he worships the form of Lord Nrisingadev in Goloka to protect Krishna. So like we're taking on this, coming from Goloka, so it's parampara. So he is there for protection of the devotees and the movement, the spiritual movement, etc. That's why we worship in Lord Nrisingadev. Why there is no deity related to Dhruva. See, generally the Dhruva is appearing as his relationship is with as a super soul. He was meditating on the super soul within, then he opened his eyes and he came without. So here in Manos also keeps mentioning you should worship the super soul in the heart like that. So he's already there anyway. He's in the heart of everyone, so we don't have to install the super soul. Anyway, specifically for the it's related to Prahlad because he was a devotee, but the idea he was giving protection, so that this is the what we're picking up on, to protect the mission, the movement, the devotees and gurus. Then we were worshipping the Shingon. Shasti Mati?
On a parking lot, and then one man came up to me and he could not tolerate to see me distributing books. So he came up to me and he wanted to hit me with the hand, and then so I called out so loud, I called Nrisingadev, and his hand went down like this. And then the Sankirtan leader later, he told me, I know there is a demon, but he didn't want to tell me before I go. But later he said, so this man, he came always out. But Nrisingadev protected me. Haribol.
Haribol.
Hare Krishna, my question. So you have mentioned about Rajasuya Yaga, the opulence of Rajasuya Yaga. At the place, actually everything opulence, Krishna was there, a lot of demons was there, but at the same time, all of a sudden it's become a bloodshed because Krishna killed Rajasuya Yaga, Sisubalan. Demon was killed at Rajasuya Yaga, Sisubalan was killed. All of a sudden, some bloodshed, everyone was very upset. Everyone went and approached Uttava is Krishna next to him. He couldn't answer to anyone. Why Krishna killed Raja at the Rajasuya Yaga?
Why he killed Shishupala? Well, he was predestined. But he could insult Krishna so many times. How many times? 108 times Krishna said, "You'll bear insult." And after that, so that he 106, 107, 108, he blasphemed Krishna. So then, that was it. Krishna was waiting for that 108. He cut his head off. But also, the Rajasuyas, the kings perform the sacrifice, but they like this, a little bit of excitement, blood gets the adrenaline running when they see the blood on the battlefield and things like that. So they like that. And you can expect anywhere where Krishna is, something will happen, something exciting always happens. It always happens. He kills a few demons every day, Krishna, so you can expect it when Krishna, he likes to have a very exciting days and excite his friends. So there's always something happening. It's like Prabhupada also. Always something happened, wherever you went, some incidents would happen, you know, even just going out for a car ride or something like that, something. And Bhavananda Prabhu, he says, Srila Prabhupada, he said, whenever we go out, there's always some adventure, something happens, some adventurous thing happens, there's always some adventure. And Prabhupada started laughing. Did he? Bhavananda says, it's always an adventure when we go out, but it was, wherever, it was like a happening, wherever Prabhupada went, something, you know, it's just their nature then. Krishna's like that, it's life, variety of life is life. So you can expect it with Krishna and Krishna's devotees that things are going to happen, right? These stories on the preaching, you know, expect the exciting things are going to happen. Otherwise, if you weren't a devotee, you wouldn't have these adventures. You wouldn't be in these situations. No, it's expected. Wherever Krishna is, wherever Arjuna is, there will always be opulences. So variety is a spice of life, Krishna is. The spiritual world is full of variety. So you can expect it. That's it. You can expect it. When Krishna says you can expect anything can happen. Prabhupada ki.